Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take a look at Mars in Sagittarius through all 12 rising signs alongside of Jupiter in Pisces. We're going to look at the house combinations based on your rising sign and see what significations, what topics and themes might be showing up based on that combination. I've also got a spread of tarot cards ready today to accompany those 12 signs. I think they turned out great, these readings that I did, so I hope that you will really enjoy this. Yesterday, I sort of previewed this combination of Mars moving into Jupiter's sign while Jupiter's also moving into Pisces, and talking about the need for revisioning, for imagination, for a renewal of our faith, for a new dream to come in and to motivate a new kind of action or to recommit or rededicate ourselves. I talked a little bit about the never-ending story and the need to combat the nothingness and the mundane qualities that can sneak in during, especially during Saturn periods. We've had Jupiter in Saturn-ruled signs for 2 years now. Everything has been in Saturn's power, Pluto and the Saturn conjunction of 2020. So Saturn has really been the ruler. We're moving into a time now where Jupiter has a lot more power. Jupiter's at least getting out from under the thumb of Saturn. And with Mars also in Jupiter's sign, I think we're going to see a kind of explosion of faith and imagination and being motivated by strong emotional sense of commitment in the next month or so as Mars spends time in Sagittarius, Jupiter's sign, with a square to Jupiter moving into Pisces, a whole sign square. So if you didn't watch that video, I recommend starting there. And today we're sort of going to fill in the blanks by taking this combination of Mars and Jupiter through all 12 rising signs and giving you a sense of what you might expect, along with a single tarot card pairing for each rising sign and some of the just associative images and symbols that come to my mind based on the house combinations and the card that I drew for each sign. I've been having fun with the tarot lately. If you guys have watched my channel for a while and you are like, whoa, you're incorporating tarot. I think I mentioned this recently that it's been a fun way for me to draw more out of the houses and signs and to do that as a way of taking the planets through the rising signs, doing a little bit more of that kind of horoscope work throughout the month, which I know people really enjoy. So, and that's been my way of keeping it creative and fresh. The cards just have a way of sparking all sorts of associative imagery that can really help that divination process along. So I've been having fun with it. I hope you guys do too. In the meantime, we have just 18 days left to go in my annual Kickstarter. We were about 50 backers behind pace. Today we're catching up. We're only about 25 backers behind last year's pace. We're trying to get to 1,367 backers supporting this channel with a one-time donation for 2022. If you are able to pitch in and donate, I greatly appreciate it. You are supporting a channel that is dedicated to a spiritually focused approach to astrological content day in and day out, year round. You guys know I've been doing this for almost a decade of creating content like this, about 300 days of the year. And my rhythm and routine is like monastic, right? It's I get up, I work out, I do my yoga, I do my mantra meditation, I sit down with sacred scriptures, I immerse myself in spiritual literature, and then I sit and I meditate, maybe with the I Ching, more recently with the tarot cards sometimes, and I focus and try to create something that is a meaningful sort of sermon from the stars that can help us ride along with these planetary waves day by day. And if you appreciate this content, pitching in to support the channel helps me. It supports me and my family. It supports a staff of people that I have on board to help make sure that I can do this free content year round. And when you donate, you can pick up a bunch of cool rewards. For example, you can pick up a video teaching you how to do mantra meditation or how to establish your own unique spiritual practice every day. There's an Astrology of 2022 video with a calendar of all the major transits of the year that we make for you. It's really cool. There's lots of other exclusive lectures on specific topics in astrology. There's a number of different kinds of readings that you can get. And you can also get 50% off any of my online courses for the year. And you could actually bundle my year one, my year two, or my horary class and my advanced readings and passages program, all 1 year programs, 4 total years of curriculum. You can bundle them all together and you save exponentially as you bundle them together. So all of those are ways that you can pitch in and support this channel. I really appreciate it. I'm going to take you to it right now. The link is in the comments description, or the comments box or the description of this video. And you can look at all of the rewards and pick one when you donate. And again, we're trying to pick up the pace a little bit. We've fallen behind, trying to beat last year's record and get to 1,367 backers by New Year's Day, really by New Year's Eve at midnight. But so we'll see how we can do. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. If you're not able to contribute financially, anything that you do to like, share, subscribe, click the notifications bell, share my work in other places, it all helps. So I thank you very much for helping me grow this practice and share it with other people. Your prayers are also appreciated. Just pray that this channel would be a source of spiritual light for other people and that good things would come from this place, that we could have a good community here. That is deeply appreciated as well. So all of that being said, let's take a look one more time at this Jupiter combination with Mars. Then we're going to take it through the houses and give you a sense of what to expect based on your rising sign. So here you can see that Mars is ingressed into Sagittarius, and I fast forwarded it to December 29th. Now they're not getting into a square by degree, but they behold each other through a square that exists inherently in the zodiac between Sagittarius and Pisces. In ancient astrology, planets could behold each other in degree-based aspects or by whole sign. So the point is that around the end of December, right around the 29th, you're going to see Jupiter ingress into the sign of Pisces. As it does so, here's Mars in Sagittarius, one, you know, an action-oriented planet in Jupiter's sign, trying to establish and assert its beliefs, its commitments, morally, spiritually, philosophically, and also trying to mobilize its beliefs in the world. And then we have Jupiter getting out of Saturn-ruled signs. Got a little preview of it over the summer of 2021, but now we're seeing it really fully coming into its own as it enters Pisces. And now we're getting a Jupiter no longer in Saturn's domiciles, no longer in its fall in Capricorn or beholden to Saturn in Aquarius, now in a double-bodied feminine water sign, where we can see just new depths coming forward, things like compassion, empathy, inspiration, dreams, faith, renewal, and hope. These kinds of energies just flow much more freely in Pisces. Now, it's not without its problems. Talked about some of the shadows of this combination. In yesterday's video, I talked a little bit about the martyr complex, or, you know, getting carried away with some kind of self-righteous zeal or something like that. Like, this would be a bad time to join some kind of cult that's just, you know, completely crazy and drains you of all of your spiritual, moral, or, you know, financial resources or something like that. But if we're discerning, I'm not too worried about that, because honestly, I would take a dose of Jupiter in its own domicile just as a change of pace over the past couple of years and just see what it brings. I'm really excited about this because in the spring, you got Jupiter, Venus, Mars, all coming together with Neptune and just bringing this really elevated kind of. It's much more ethereal and dreamy and hopeful. It can be romantic. It can be idealistic. Of course, you can kind of get lost in the clouds. But I spoke yesterday about the never-ending story and about the way that our imagination saves us. Just when we feel dark, we can't go on, somehow a new vision, a new hope, a new dream appears before us. And it's a dream that is filled with beauty. It's filled with virtue. It's filled with goodness. We talked a little bit about how can we use these energies also to take whatever abundance or hope or good things are growing in us and share or give them in the places that make the most sense around us, to our family or friends or the job we do or whatever it is. So I really like these energies. I feel like I'm kind of bullish on them maybe, but you know what? I'm ready for a change after some of the past couple of years of Saturn heaviness. Saturn's a great teacher. Don't get me wrong. I've learned some of the most important lessons I've ever learned over the past couple of years. I'm sure we all have collectively, but like, it's nice to see Jupiter getting into a feminine water sign where it's really at home. Like it's a change of pace. Okay, so that being said, we're going to start with Aries. We're going to go through all 12 signs, and I'm going to give you some impressions of what the combination of Mars and Jupiter in these two signs between now and late January might be bringing into your life. So think late December through late January as something to look forward to, a different kind of energy that's coming through with different lessons. What's really interesting to me is that everything in the tarot cards that I drew, and I spent time meditating on each of the combinations, were either swords, cups, or major arcana. Except for Pisces. Pisces got the lone pentacle card, which I thought was really fascinating, just to see what patterns come up. But at any rate, let's get into it. So we're going to start with the combination of Jupiter in the 12th house, which was called Malas Daimon, the house of the evil spirit, and Mars in the 9th house, the place that was called God. And when these two places come up, it's really interesting because you're talking about shadows that live in us or the world around us, in the environment, things that can undermine us. We're also talking about a place of faith and higher knowledge, putting those two things together. So the card that I drew for my Aries rising folk out there is the Two of Swords. And the Two of Swords, you can see someone with their arms, you know, they got the swords crossed, their arms crossed with the swords and the moon above and a blindfold over them. And I look at this card. This card can mean a lot of different things, but one of the things that I get from that Two of Swords image is the idea of having to really tap into a different kind of wisdom, a different kind of understanding to work through a problem. You know, if you feel crossed up energetically and you feel maybe stuck, you know, between kind of a rock and a hard place, no option seems really great, or you're trying to untangle difficult things mentally or emotionally, or you're unaware of the things that block you or prohibit you. You can't exactly see how to work through a problem. The antidote to the Two of Swords is often faith or intuition or a different kind of knowing that can help guide you through and make the correct choices morally, spiritually, philosophically. So I like this as the energy of the 9th house Mars with the 12th house Jupiter, if you're an Aries rising. So that's my message for you as an Aries rising is maybe find a way of working through problems or understanding problems that comes from a different way of knowing or a different way of you know, tackling like a different strategy or in a different approach or something like that. That's what comes to my mind. So we go to Taurus rising. Now we're putting Jupiter into the 11th house, which is Jupiter's joy. It was called the house of good spirit and the joy of Jupiter. And we're putting in Mars into the 8th house called the idol place and the gate of Hades. And interestingly, the card that came back for my Taurus risings out there was the 10 of Cups. And in this card, you can see it's really like we have everything we need, happily ever after. The kids are dancing, the mom and dad are like, yay, we've arrived. There's a sort of rainbow of cups. There's a state of emotional fulfillment and abundance. You can see the river flowing, the home in the background. It's a real feeling, a look and feeling of satisfaction. Let me just go ahead and take a look at this again. So one thing that I love about this is the idea of abundant or plentiful resources that mobilize you, the feeling of finishing things, paying off a mortgage, purchasing a home, maybe finding some kind of sense of fulfillment and a feeling of getting something that you've wanted. The 11th house is called the place of wishes and dreams. The 8th house was also associated with debts. And so part of me looks at this card and also says, there is no happily ever after in the material world. Things can be, you can get the mortgage, you can take out the mortgage, you can get the home, you move in, happily ever after, and then maintenance comes. So I look at this and I see some sense of fulfillment that's abundant, some resources coming your way if you're a Taurus rising, but also some lesson about remember that the 10 is the end of the suit, but in the material world, every end is followed by a beginning. Just like in the I Ching, you get the 64th hexagram and it says something like it's not yet over, even though it's the final hexagram. I get the feeling of some sense of completion, some sense of fulfillment, but knowing, be careful because, you know, it's in those states that we can fall asleep or to, you know, forget I still have the loan to pay off or whatever the case might be. So kind of like be happy with whatever abundance or resources or completion of something is coming your way. But also remember that these states don't last forever. Cherish them and don't sort of fall asleep and get fat on the moment. That's the message that I'm getting from this one. So that's for my Taurus risings. Let's go forward and put Gemini on the ascendant. So when we put Gemini on the ascendant, we're putting Jupiter into the house that was called Praxis, which means action. It's a place associated with your work in the world or your actions and activities in the world, your public reputation. And then we're taking Mars and we're putting Mars in the setting place, a place that was associated with relationships and love, but also a place that's associated with endings and completion, as it's a place where planets set into the west and disappear. The card that I pulled for you, if you're a Gemini rising, is the Six of Swords. And you can see in it, this is sort of like the bridge over troubled water card, right? It's the card that shows, you know, you're moving beyond sorrows, or it almost looks like refugees escaping someplace. But this card is often associated with the idea that there's been some loss, there's been some harm, there's been some troubled times. You're going to move past them now. There's a sense of putting something behind you and moving on. And, you know, I think that that speaks to there being right now a sense of joy on the horizon if you're a Gemini rising, a next phase that's coming. But it might be also a time where you're having moved through a difficult completion. Remember, Mars, god of strife in the setting place, endings, completion. So maybe some hard endings, but with Jupiter on the horizon, you're moving across and you're moving towards something new. And that gives me the feeling that, you know, just allow for the process of grief or of letting go of something, but and knowing that there's something good still coming. And that's the feeling that I get from this one if you're a Gemini rising. Let's go on to Cancer rising. If you're Cancer rising, we're taking Jupiter and we're putting Jupiter into the ninth house, which is the place called God, the place of higher learning, divination, oracles, sages, universities, foreign travel, like pilgrimages to foreign temples and things like that. And then we're taking Mars, we're putting it into its own joy in the sixth house called Mala Fortuna, which means bad fortune. Okay, so if you're a Cancer rising, it's an interesting combination, God and the house of bad fortune. What does that mean? The card that I pulled for you if you're a Cancer rising is the King of Swords. And this can mean that there's going to be an encounter with an authority figure. Maybe it's religious, academic, someone with a lot of knowledge or authority. Sometimes it could speak to confrontations with the law or with some kind of procedure. It could also mean, frankly, when I look at this, I wonder about like cutting ties with people or influences in organizations of knowledge or religion or spirituality that, you know, that haven't been good for you. And maybe like, for example, you know, sometimes you're in a church for a while, or you're in a religious or spiritual community, something about the leadership or the way things are run, it just creates a yucky feeling inside. And so you realize like the faith, the tradition I am on board with, but something about the way things are being done it's not good for me. So I need to leave. I could see something like that happening. I could also see some encounter between, faith and mobilizing your beliefs in the world with a sense of urgency or action, or conflicts on behalf of what you believe being important, or also having to be careful that you're not being sort of vindictive or righteous. Be careful what crusade you take up. That's the feeling that I'm getting for Cancers between late December and January. All right, let's go on to Leo risings. For Leos, you've got Jupiter in the eighth house, which is called the idol place, gate of Hades, entrance into the setting place of the going toward the underworld. And then you have Mars in the fifth house, which is called the joy of Venus and the house of good fortune. A house that's essentially related to pleasure and joy and creativity, fertility, pregnancy, romance, entertainment. So these two places, the idol place and the place of joy and pleasure. This is interesting card that gets drawn if you're a Leo rising. The card that gets drawn is the Ten of Swords, arguably one of the most ominous looking cards of the tarot. And in this deck, in this card, you essentially see what looks like, you know, just someone who's just been completely killed, about as killed as you could possibly be, right? Just dead. Right? So this card certainly speaks to endings. It certainly speaks to the end. Now, I want to emphasize that endings are not always bad. To me, sometimes when I see the Ten of Swords, I think it's time to give something up. It's time to let go of something. When I think of this combination for Leos, for example, I think of vices, gambling addictions, drinking too much, spending too much. I think of reaching the end of your credit limit. I think of getting to a space where you just can't go on doing something in the way it's been done, especially anything related to pleasure that has not been healthy. For example, I think of this combination, I think of sex addiction, not like, you know, healthy sensual relationships and fun and pleasure, but like something that it's got you in bondage. Not the fun kind, like something that has just gone too far, that is, it's ready to be let go of. On the other hand, you could also very literally see death in this instance. With the emphasis on the eighth house, I don't want to be too ominous, but you know, there is an eighth house emphasis here, and sometimes you're going to see losses or death. But that death is usually, in my experience, metaphorical or symbolic, not literal. It's not like some literal tragedy is probably going to happen. But I look at this and I go, there's an end that's happening here. And there's wisdom to be drawn from the way that something is ending. And maybe a different way of going about getting something that you need, or the end of a conflict. Like you could see the end of, for example, I've seen this kind of combination come up when people are going through the end of a custody battle or a legal dispute in a divorce over child support or something like that. So it's also about, you know, maybe the finality of some kind of conflict that's been a struggle that you've been in for a long time. And that might be a positive too. All right, so let's go on to the next sign. We're going on to Virgo rising next. If you're a Virgo rising, we have Jupiter is in the seventh place, the setting place, the place of marriage and love, but also the place of finality and conclusions, the place where planets set. And then you have Mars in the subterranean place, the underworld pivot of the chart, the foundation, related to home, family, but also deep things like the mysteries and occult studies were traditionally associated with the fourth house because it's the underworld of the chart. It's sort of the Hades place of the chart in ancient astrology. That's why the eighth house is called the Gate of Hades, because its planets are going down into the underworld. The consummation of the underworld is the fourth house in ancient astrology. So, okay, what do we see here? If you're a Virgo rising, I love this card for you guys. The card that came up was the Queen of Cups. Now, when I look at this, I think about a number of different things, but one of them that comes to my mind is the power of women in the family. I think of matriarchs. I think of the power of the wife in a marriage, whatever power she may have that she plays naturally. It's different in every relationship, so I don't want to be stereotypical here, but the power of feminine wisdom in how it exists in the past, ancestrally, and how it exists in marriage and relationships, and how able we are to be receptive to the emotional intelligence and leadership of other people in our lives in general, kind of the wisdom of the queen, and also in our power to nurture things and to look at women, mothers, home and hearth, and how we care for things. And I would also say that there's something here about potential conflict around the queen, mothers or women, or what is the emotional center of your life? And is it, do you have an emotional center that's life-giving? Is there like a well that you draw from or not? And it probably needs to be both something that's private, but also key relationships help you get there somehow. These are the kinds of things that I'm seeing for Virgos this month, Virgo rising. All right, so let's go on to Libra rising. Now it's where we get interesting. The second half of the zodiac started hitting like major arcana card after major arcana card. I thought it was really fascinating. They all started coming up like this, even though I was reshuffling the deck every single time really well. So at any rate, for Libras, we are seeing Mars in Sagittarius in the third house, which was called Dia or goddess. And it's the joy of the moon. And then Jupiter in the sixth house, mala fortuna, bad fortune, the joy of Mars. So Marsy and moony places and the place of the goddess and the place of misfortune. This is a really interesting combination. So the tarot card that I got from this, I just loved this one so much. It's so nice. So this, the card that came up was the Fool. And immediately my wheels were turning. I had so many ideas about this one, but the Fool, why would the Fool come up? It seems like a really random card to come up for this combination. Let's take a look again. One of the things that tends to happen when we think about the moon, the third house, is you think about routines. The third house is all about like the altar room in your house where every day, you know, you take care of your deities, you offer your incense and flowers, you have your rhythms. It's your brushing your teeth at night. It's the email that you check in the morning. It's the prayers that you do, you know, in the afternoon, whatever it is, your routines, everything that circumambulates around the roots and creates a sense of constancy, nurturance, devotion, familiarity, security. It's a mental and emotional space of root level familiarity. Right? So Mars in that space is going to initiate change. Let's do something different, right? And then Jupiter's in the sixth house, right? As well, a place of misfortune and a bringer of good things, generally speaking. And the kinds of changes that Mars likes to bring, kind of risky. So I look at this and I go, you know what Libras are going to be dealing with this month? It's like the Fool card. They're going to be wondering, maybe it's a person that enters your life and challenges you to change the way you think, change up your rhythm, change up your routine somehow. And you're going to go, is this risky? Is this completely foolish? Is this crazy? Or is it the kind of risk that I need to be taking? Do I need to trust that something good can come out of some risk that I take, even if it doesn't go perfectly well, even if there's a little bit, even if I get a little dinged up in the process? So I like this month as a month of like emotional risk-taking for Librans and kind of following in the Fool's footsteps, knowing that, you know, Fool characters come into our life as an impulse within us or as a person, and they carry us along, and rarely do they just send us over a cliff to our death. Right? We might, we might fall off the ledge and hang on and have to pull ourselves back up. But a lot of the times what the Fool card does is it initiates us into a new phase, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things. So I like the mind, the environment, being filled with like interesting risks and kind of an invitation to be adventurous this month if you're a Libra. Now, of course, if you meet a Fool character who comes in and is deceptive or leading you off in a bad direction, and you've really got the spider senses tingling, then, you know, be careful. But in general, I like the idea of like healthy emotional risk-taking for Libras this month and trusting that even if things don't go perfectly, something good can come out of something bad or something, that doesn't go as planned. All right. So let's move on now to our next rising sign, which is Scorpio. So Scorpio rising, you've got Mars in Sagittarius in the second house, also called the Gate of Hades and the Idol Place. But this time it's about coming up from the underworld and back into the light of the sun. So the Gate of Hades in the eighth is about planets sinking down. Gate of Hades in the second is about planets coming up. So this is about things that the native will draw on or develop or cultivate or that will grow in their garden, including their resources that come to them in time. And then you also have Jupiter in the fifth house, the joy of Venus, the place of good fortune, a place of joy, happiness, creativity, fertility, and sensuality, romance. It's a place that can lead to pregnancy and, you know, kind of it's a very creative, lush place for Jupiter in a water sign, right? So the card that I drew for my Scorpio risings is the Lovers, another major arcana card. What is so interesting about this card to me is that it's really about a blessing, the blessing of a relationship or an opportunity or a new situation. The Garden of Eden is abundant. It's a blessing that's given to people. Of course, the temptation to misuse it, to harm it, to make a choice in darkness or ignorance, to lose ourselves somehow is inherent within every fortunate new chapter in our life. So I think of the Lovers card as a crossroad. It's like, here you are in this brand new situation, new opportunities being provided to you, maybe even a new relationship, a new lover, a new form of pleasure, joy, creative fulfillment. Something new that's kind of abundant. There's also a question, will you do this the right way? You know, will you do this the right way? Will you lose yourself? Will you bite into some kind of temptation? We're talking about mythology, right? Archetypes. So this makes sense because we're talking about resources and pleasure. We're talking about joy, creativity, and we're talking about, your resources, skills, and abilities. We're talking about romance, and we're talking about money or investments. We're talking about where will you place your resources in relationship to this kind of abundant, fertile, romantic energy that's coming through, and you could misuse it. So it's about a wise choice that you have to make with what looks like a good opportunity or some good possibilities that are entering. So I really like that one for my Scorpio risings. All right, let's go along to Mars in Sagittarius in the first house. If you're a Sagittarius rising, you're going to have Mars in the first and Jupiter in the fourth. Now, the first was called the helm. So we're talking about the helm of the ship of life. This is the steering wheel where the native is in control of their own destiny by virtue of their own body, their own choices, their own volition, their own intelligence. And then you're talking about the fourth house, the subterranean pivot, the foundation, the roots, family, home, but also the past, the mysteries, the underworld. So what does this combination bring? Well, if you're a Sagittarius rising, really a card that goes very closely along with the Lovers, which is the Devil card, a very interesting, another major arcana card that came up. the devil card. So you can see in this card, the people are standing chained to the devil, but they're clearly like just kind of leisurely standing there. It doesn't look like they're, you know, like get me out of here. And again, what people always say about this one is look at how loose the nooses are. It's kind of the idea of what are you chained to? What have you gotten attached to? What has power over you, right? This is interesting because when we look at this combination, we're talking about abundance at the roots, right? Abundance at the roots. The Jupiter in the fourth house, for example, in the ancient world was often a sign of wealth or power or prosperity or something that's really fertile and lush at the bottom. But with Mars in the first house, are we seduced by power? Are we chaining ourselves to someone or something at the roots that's like nice, but ultimately has some kind of very intense power over us? So I look at who or what are we trying to have power over, or what has power over us if you're a Sag rising this month? And also, what is the cost of real freedom? And, you know, what is real abundance? And what is some unhealthy form of dependency? Those are things that come to my mind, probably with some kind of emphasis on ancestry, home, family, and different kinds of temptations of power and abundance. And you're looking very carefully at yourself and what it means to be empowered and free versus chained to something. Those are really deep questions for my Sages this month. I'd love to hear from everyone, but like that one in particular really grabbed me. I thought, wow, that's like such a powerful card to draw. Anyway, let's go forward to Capricorn rising. So for Cap rising, we're taking Mars and we're now putting it in the 12th house, Malas Daimon, the evil spirit. And then we're taking Jupiter in the third house of the goddess. So evil spirit and goddess, joy of Saturn in the 12th, joy of the moon in the third. Now, pairing those planets together, if you're a Capricorn rising, the card that I drew, another really interesting one, the Empress, another major arcana card. So you can see with the Empress, she is a very earthy, sensual, powerful sort of goddess figure. And you might be scratching your head being like, well, what does the Empress have to do with the 12th and the third? And again, I look at this and I say, one of the greatest things about Jupiter in a water sign, a feminine sign entering the third house, is that Jupiter in the third house of the goddess would be a sign of an empress, because Jupiter was a sign of emperors and empresses. And when it's in the house of the goddess, it can signify female authority figures or feminine or goddess-like authority figures. So however that expresses itself in human beings, maybe that's present in a variety of different bodies and identities, but the power of the feminine, the power of the goddess as a ruling figure, that is really important. And when you see Mars in the 12th, here's what I think about. I think about whether or not, let me just clear this and get my drawing going here. Not sure why it's not showing up, but I'll just leave it and keep going. I think about Mars in the 12th and I think about conflicts with such figures. For example, the conflict with a woman, conflict with a boss, conflict with a more feminine way of thinking or doing something, coming from maybe a more traditionally masculine or like aggressive way of doing something, a feminine way of knowing versus a much more maybe aggressive, cocksure, sort of masculine, fiery Mars way of knowing. I also think about, you know, the way in which feminine figures are going to present themselves as a positive influence in our lives to help us overcome something. For example, I could see someone seeing the Empress as a healer, a therapist, someone who comes in and says, let's look at those Mars 12th house shadows that you have. Remember, if you're a Capricorn, Mars is your exaltation ruler. So let's look at your relationship with power. Let's look at your relationship with authority. And is there some way that you can soften some of the underlying ruthlessness, ambition? Because those are things that Capricorns, frankly, can struggle with, right? Not that Capricorns are ruthless or just cutthroat or something like that, but that can be a shadow, especially when Mars is in the 12th. So is there some kind of healing goddess-like figure that's there helping to soothe something of the turbulence of Mars in the 12th. I also think about bringing a conflict before a fair and compassionate figure of some kind. So anyway, those are things that came to my mind. If you guys have thoughts about that one, I'd love to hear them as well. I thought that was one of the more interesting pulls of all of them that I did today. Anyway, so let's go on to Aquarius rising. If you're an Aquarius rising, then Mars is showing up in the 11th house, the joy of Jupiter, the house of good spirit, house of benefactors, allies, friends, a pretty wonderful place. The card that I drew, And Jupiter, forgot to mention Jupiter. Jupiter is in the second house, gate of Hades, and place associated with money and resources. So when you think about those two places in combination, friends, benefactors, allies, good spirit, but also a place of resources, money, things that we might draw on personally, especially like money and business matters. The card that I drew for you, if you're an Aquarius rising, was the Seven of Swords. This is interesting because it shows someone sort of sneaking off from a camp with a bunch of swords in their hands. So I would be very cautious this month, if I am an Aquarius rising, of being taken advantage of by people who say that they are your friends or allies, or by looking at who are the right kinds of friends and allies in my life. Where can I align my resources, or where should I be allocating my time, energy? Because it's not just money, it's time and energy as well in the second house, things that we can spend, things that we can cultivate, and who are the right people to be doing it with? Am I taking advantage of certain people in my life? Am I aligned with the right people, or is it just something opportunistic on their part or on mine? I look at that combination and I say, yeah, be careful of the energy of using people or being used. I also think with the Seven of Swords, about taking something and getting out before you get in too deep with people that aren't right for you, or sort of cutting your losses and saying, okay, I've had enough, thank you, and now I have to leave, and kind of recommitting yourself maybe to new people or new projects or something like that. Okay, so last but not least, we have Pisces rising. Pisces, you received the only pentacle of the day, which I thought was really kind of quirky. So here's Mars in the 10th house, and Mars in the 10th house is in the place of praxis, action, worldly reputation, career, and then Jupiter's in the first house, the place of body, identity, the helm of the ship. Well, what do we have for you? The card that came up is the Seven of Pentacles. So here you see a man kind of resting on his hoe, and he's looking at the garden and all that's growing there. And there's quite a bit growing there already, right? I mean, this is one of the things that's said about this, is it's kind of like taking stock of what you've built. The work isn't over yet. This is only the 7 out of 10 cards, but you've done a lot. So kind of taking inventory, the work's not done, maybe resting when you shouldn't be, or also thinking about, okay, I've kind of accomplished a lot. What do I want to do with what I've grown so far? So I like this idea of kind of a reflection on values, a reflection on your energy, especially in your career, and kind of being like, where am I at right now? And I've done a lot of work on myself, or maybe in my career. And, you know, is it something I still want to be doing? Should I be directing my energy in a different way professionally, learning something new, working with different people? Or also, have I lost motivation? Maybe even am I trying to cut corners a little bit? Stuff like that, but the rededicating or recommitting yourself to the work in the right way, that comes to mind for me this month if you're a Pisces rising. So that is my tour de force through the 12 rising signs, little tarot cards thrown in. I thought the tarot cards were just super on point, helping bring out some of the possible combinations of topics. I hope you guys enjoyed it, that you find it useful overall. Remember that my Kickstarter, we have just 18 days left, and we're still about 25 backers behind pace as of today. We're about halfway there. So we still need 600 plus more backers to pitch in and support. There's over 42,000 people subscribe, right around there, subscribe to this channel. We need a small amount, about 1,300 of you all, to say, here, I'll chip in and help this channel in the year ahead. When I was a kid, you know, I think I just was destined to have part of my career working in fundraising when I was a kid. That was really the model that I grew up with too, right? As a preacher's kid, basically the way that the people, the congregation, pitch in and support the church, and that's a part of how the preacher gets paid. So it's like weird that I grew up with that model. It's part of my life now. I give little sermons from the stars year in. We pass around the offering plate at the end of the year. And the idea is from that to pitch into good things. We donated $5,000 last week to send Bhagavad Gitas to prisons, hospitals, and hospice care centers. We'll be sending another batch of donations that come in to supporting women and women's leadership development in spiritual and bhakti spiritual communities here in the US and in India. So we're always trying to do something good with what you bring in. We're building a community herbal medicine garden. We're gradually building a donation-based clinic so that people can have donation-based reading with some of my best alumni. So the idea is to continue developing what you're bringing in so that Nightlight Astrology for years to come is thought of as a place of a solid spiritual guidance, astrological learning, and that it's available and accessible to lots of people financially. So a huge part of how I do that is through your donations every year. I really appreciate it if you're able to pitch in. And thank you to everybody who already has. I really deeply appreciate the support. So that's it for today. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.